We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Yeah, still trying to get past this cold I've had for the last couple of days. I don't know what it is, and it goes around so quick. Everyone gets sick so quickly. And I've tried like crazy around the house to make sure the son and the wife are away from me. And it's hard because my kid likes to snuggle. So every time he comes in for a snuggle, I say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. I wanted to start the show by talking about a few things. Next hour, we're going to bring on Tom Sullivan, who is a local watchdog, and he's got a lot to say about the controversy of the Loop Trolley. Ooh, boy, lots to talk about there. So he's going to join us next hour. A little bit later in the show, too, we're going to talk to Tony McAleer. He has a book called The Cure for Hate. He is someone that grew up in Vancouver. He is also someone that grew up as a white supremacist, a neo-Nazi, a skinhead. He's someone that would go up and literally beat people up for a period of like 5 years, like him and his gang of people. What changed in his life? What changed his heart? And what is he now doing to try to change other people's hearts? We'll talk to him later in the show, too. A really interesting conversation about his life. And I want to talk about not really the debates from last night, but what I think the byproduct of the debates are. It's kind of sad when you think about where this country is going, the byproduct of some of these discussions that are brought up on the stage last night. When they keep trying to out-radicalize themselves, you know, out-progressive themselves, this is what the byproduct is, and we'll talk about that next. Real quick, yesterday, there's a few things that we talked about with the St. Louis Blues. They went to the White House, and it was a really awesome moment when they gave President Trump the Blues championship jersey, which was cool to see. It was cool to see the Stanley Cup there. I saw today that Curtis Joseph will be returning, at least in a little tribute fashion. Cujo himself will be honored on Jordan Binnington's mask when the Blues do the retro throwback 90s jerseys. There's three times this year they're going to bring the jerseys back. They look so awesome. Those jerseys are just so cool. And for those three dates, Jordan Binnington, I don't know if he was just automatically assigned the starter on those 3 days or he's just assuming he's going to start, because sometimes the rotations don't work out that way, you know. Anything could happen. But he has this helmet that he modeled after Curtis Joseph, one of the great all-time goalies. To me, I look at Curtis Joseph, I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves. I really don't. I think he was one of those tier of goaltenders. Like if you could do first tier, second tier, third tier. If you do like first tier where you have like Dominic Hasek, you have Grant Fuhr, you have Patrick Waugh, I guess you can throw him in there. Martin Brodeur, any of those type of goalies, like the top of the top of the top, one of the most respected goaltenders of all time. Curtis Joseph's already, he's put in there like in a mid-second tier. I think he deserves to be higher than that. He was so good for so long. And I'm so happy to see Jordan Binnington will be doing the throwback mask with the throwback jerseys. And there was a couple of things that were missed yesterday during the presentation when the Blues were in Washington, D.C. Two things were actually missed. Did you know he mentioned this radio program? President Trump must listen to Overnight America. He mentioned this radio program. He actually mentioned me. And he mentioned producer Mike. And can you believe that? All right. So here, I had to find the reference point. Okay, hold on. Let me get to this real quick. So let me play this. Okay.
The Bruins took 33 shots on net during the game. And the Blues rookie goaltender.
I got to fast forward. I got to find the right spot. Oh, here it is. Here's where he referenced me.
Where's Ryan?
Recker.
Look at that mouth of that guy. Great guy.
Yeah, he said, I found, there it was. Can you believe that President Trump mentioned me? No, there it is. That's, you only need to hear it once. Oh, no, you want to hear it again? All right, here, let me see if I can find it again. It's somewhere in the middle here. I'm going to fast forward.
You know, we went all that way about, I guess.
Let's see.
Always had good reflexes?
I guess so.
If you didn't, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, all right. Oh, no, here it is. I think I found it.
Where's Ryan?
Wrecker.
Look at that mouth of that guy. Great guy.
And he mentioned you, Producer Mike, too. Did you know that? He mentioned you. Here, I found it. Hold on one second.
Watching from the bleachers was your biggest fan, 11-year-old producer Mike Anderson.
Yeah, there he was. Watching from the bleachers was producer Mike. Oh, wow. Isn't that crazy? I had no idea President Trump was a fan of Overnight America. I'm sure after the Blues won the Stanley Cup, he stayed up late with us when we took calls for several hours of fans from all across the United States. Here, producer Mike, isn't that crazy? Did you even know he mentioned you?
Watching from the bleachers was your biggest fan, 11-year-old producer Mike Anderson.
Yeah, I can't believe it. How come no one messaged me? Normally, if I'm referenced somewhere, it's insane. There'll be other radio programs that may reference me because, you know, I'm connected. I talk to other radio show hosts, and sometimes they may bring me up if we're in conversation. And then I'll have a random person email me and say, hey, so-and-so talked about you on this radio show. That's kind of cool when that happens. How come President Trump brings this show up and no one messages us? What's going on there? Why are you shaking your head at me right now? Don't shake your head at that. The president mentioned you.
Watching from the bleachers was your biggest fan, 11-year-old producer Mike Anderson.
That was you.
Mentioned. Yeah, why was he?
By the president of
the
United States.
He was keeping tabs on me 18 years ago?
Yeah. No, he just thought you were 11. Now, it was a quick.
Oh, I get
it. He was reading the script.
Real funny.
No, he was reading the script, and he didn't understand. Like, instead of saying Mike Berube, he said Berube, or Berube. He mispronounced
Craig Berube.
Yeah, he mentioned
At least he got his name right.
At least he got his name right. No, he mentioned a few of the names incorrectly, and that's okay. I understand that, because he's reading from a sheet of paper, and we know that he's not a St. Louis Blues fan until they awarded him a jersey. Now he's going to be an all-time Blues fan for the rest of his life, which is cool. But he doesn't always get all the facts right on those sheets of paper. Sometimes there's little errors in it, but you should just be honored that the President of the United States mentioned you when welcoming the St. Louis Blues at the White House.
Yeah, and you can tell that wasn't even fake news. That was straight from the President's mouth.
Yeah, no editing whatsoever. That was totally legit. We would not do any funny business on this radio program.
Well, yeah, especially you, someone who always strikes down on that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all. No fake news. So, coming up, I wanted to ask the question about what's going on in Creve Coeur. I had no idea they had a drive-through ban, but now that's part of the national discussion. And really, I think this is a byproduct of the far progressive agenda that you see on stage last night. Everyone's trying to out-progressive each other until the point where they're saying, you know, it would be a good idea to outlaw drive-throughs in America. That's how far we've gotten. We'll talk about that next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Yes, the 8 o'clock start time. It's fun to be with you. And let me give you the phone numbers that you already know and have burned into your mind. Just like that gentleman from Northern California who was without power and the only number he knew was 314-436-7900. That was the number he called to find the score of the Cardinals game. That was pretty good. You can also call 800-925-1120. Yeah, I'm going to try to not cough too much into this microphone. I don't know what it is. I had to take a sick day on Monday, and I came back, and I just can't kick this thing. I still feel icky, but not as bad to take off. You know, I don't know what it is. It's just going around the station right about now, and it's not good. And next week, I'll be out on vacation. You know what the worst thing is? You schedule vacation time, and then you get sick during the vacation time. That's bad luck. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. We have family coming in. My son's going to be turning 5. We're going to have some fun, and I want to be able to be nice and refreshed and not sick for when family comes in. I was looking at a couple of different stories online, and I saw this one come through a couple days ago. From CBS News, cities ban drive-throughs to fight climate change. And I thought, what a crazy idea. And then I found out, and I had no idea this was the case, over in Creve Coeur, past ordinances have been pushed through to ban the building of new drive-throughs. From what I read, and it was hard for me to find a little history on this, so if anyone knows the history of the Creve Coeur drive-through ban, give me a call, because when I do a search on all the local news stations, the last thing I was able to find was maybe 2014, where they were trying to petition to put a Panera in there, or, you know, St. Louis Bread Co. But they were one of the cities that have been listed recently when these other news agencies have been picking up the drive-through ban. Here's the number, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you know anything about that, give me a call. But CBS originally put this out, and the Today Show actually did a story on it this morning. Some communities across the U.S. are banning drive-throughs, citing the additional carbon emissions that are being released. Minneapolis this summer banned construction of new drive-throughs. Similar ordinances restricting fast food windows have also been adopted in New Jersey, New York, and then here in Missouri over in Creve Coeur. Minneapolis cited air pollution from idling vehicles as a major factor for the ban on drive-throughs. Isn't that something? The idling. Maybe, let's think about other instances where cars may be idling that are out there. Just about every other instance, right? I mean, I don't think there's ever a time where you don't put on the brake or you're at a stoplight or you're stuck in traffic or maybe you're waiting for someone to cross the street or whatever it is. And your car's always going to idle. So sitting in a drive-through, if that's the real problem, if that's the thing that's creating the biggest issues, the biggest environmental disaster in our country, or maybe it's something a little bit different. Maybe there's another underlining motive that they're trying to push through here. And when you look at the stage, the Democratic debate yesterday, I had a hard time paying attention to it. I was flipping back and forth between the Cardinals game and the Democratic debate, and both of them were equally as disappointing. But, you know, I was catching a little bit here and there. I didn't catch any of the climate change talk, but as apparently they skipped out on it yesterday. They really didn't talk about it. But part of their big platforms, if you were to go through and have all of them identify what they think should be done, a lot of them are in favor for the Green New Deal. So they want to get rid of this stuff altogether. They keep pushing further left, further left, further left. It's not that idling in a drive-thru is the problem. It's that everything that we do is a problem. You know, transporting ourselves in a gas car, that's a problem. We need to get rid of that. Transporting ourselves in airplanes over long distances, we need to get rid of that. It's everything that has some sort of footprint, we need to get rid of it. And we need to replace everything that is inefficient. So basically everything you have in your house right now needs to be replaced because it's inefficient. If you're not totally off the grid, if you don't have solar panels up on your roof, if your house by itself is old, you're going to have to replace it all. And that's kind of the radical side of it that the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world has their vision of what should happen in America. And you know the weird thing is, at first, a lot of the Democrats looked at that and said, that's a little bit further left than we're prepared to go. But then they realized that there was a fan base over there. They realized there was a certain group of people that could actually help them maybe get a percentage point or two in the polls. And they thought, maybe we shouldn't go out there and dismiss those people altogether. So I think we're going to change our thoughts and we're going to give them some credence and to say that we should make some of these massive changes to the fact where they're out there saying, we need to get rid of drive-throughs. Because when you're sitting in a drive-thru waiting for some food, you may cause a little extra pollution, and thus we need to stop that from happening. You know, the odd thing is, from what I remember, maybe I'm not a car expert. I know a little bit about cars, but I'm not a car expert. But when you turn the engine off and then you turn the engine back on, normally the amount of gas that's used for something like that is probably more than what it would take for you to sit and idle in the drive-through. It probably burns up more gas and probably adds more pollution to starting and stopping your car, let alone the what it takes for you to find a parking space. Sometimes you're going to be sitting idle in the parking lot anyway. Think of this. Some people just don't want to get out of their car. When I want to go through a restaurant or whatever it is, sometimes I don't want to get out of my car. This is stupid. of course I want to go through the drive-thru. It's a convenience factor. It's total nonsense to begin with. Here, let me go back to NBC, and the Today Show did a story on it this morning.
Ever since the first one opened in 1947, the drive-thru revved up fast food. But is it now running out of gas?
Bang drive-thru sucks. I mean, because I want to be able to sit in my car, take care of my phone, and just relax.
In August, Minneapolis became the latest city to pass an ordinance banning the construction of new drive-thru windows.
I think that's a horrible idea. I love drive-thrus. They save a lot of time.
Similar.
You know what they had in Ohio? Of all the other places I lived, in Ohio, they have the drive-through convenience stores. They're very popular. You don't get out of your car for the convenience store. You drive through, you tell them what you want, someone goes and gets it, brings it to your window, and you're in and out. Done. Just like that.
Similar legislation restricting drive-thrus has also passed in cities in Missouri, California, and New Jersey.
I'm on my way to work right now. It'd take me a lot more time to like get out of my car and go in.
The idea, according to one report, is that curbing fast food drive-thrus through zoning could improve overall health. But the benefits are questionable. Obesity rates went up, not down, after South Los Angeles banned new standalone restaurants and drive-thru windows in 2008.
I don't know why they do that. You don't get that.
Some cities hope such bans could also cut down on traffic, emissions, and litter and improve pedestrian safety. It's part of a controversial national trend attempting to make people healthier through legislation.
Oh, yeah, because that always works. You know, let's go back to Obamacare and let's find out if that really helped to make everyone healthier. You know, trying to use it through taxing and, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a second. Did that really deliver on its promise? 436-7900. Let me get to Dave real quick, who's calling in from St. Louis. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, I just thought I'd share. St. Louis has had a ban on idling cars since 2008. When the temperature is above 32 degrees, you aren't supposed to have your car idle for more than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Below 32 degrees, they allow up to 10 minutes for idling a car. Not as extreme as a drive-through window, mm-hmm. but it's not something new.
But this is something you're talking about, like in your driveway when you're trying to warm your car up or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not as extreme as what you're talking about with drive-through windows, but it's a factor that has been.
I don't even know how that's enforceable.
Under review.
Yeah, like how would you even enforce that unless one of your neighbors was keeping a video camera on your property?
I'm not saying they enforce it.
Yeah.
I mean, and part of it might be aimed at trucks, delivery trucks, stuff like that in the city. You know, I'm not up on what their purpose was. I do know that it had to do with emissions and pollution.
Yeah,
but that was pretty much before all the Go Green stuff has come about too, though. 2008.
Yeah,
it's been around. Climate change has been around, but it's been amped up in the last few years.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
I just thought I'd share that. All right,
thank you. All right, and part of this too, I noticed over on 64 that when you were to drive under the bridge where the Science Center is. So you're going towards Forest Park. The Science Center is on each side. One side has the planetarium, and the other side has the main side of the Science Center. And then there's that bridge that goes across 64, and it's kind of cool. You get to look down at the cars that are flying by, and they got the little radars up there. If you were driving westbound, there used to be this box that gave you the air quality report. So it would say air quality is medium, or, you know, air pollutants lower. I can't remember the verbiage on it, but they took that sign down. Over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed it's disappeared. So I wonder what the reason for that was. Did we finally win the emissions fight? I don't know. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Because I think this goes even further when you try to take on everything, when you get as progressive as you've seen some of the candidates. Maybe the next step, and there was a writer for the New York Daily News, Leslie Mazur, that asked the question, could eating a burger get you arrested someday? And this writer for the New York Daily News said, please, please make that true. This is where they're going. It's, I don't know if it's a pollution thing, if it's an idling thing, but there's a, I mean, there's a lot of wars on a lot of things that you use and consume today, and a lot of things that really drive our economy that would be devastating if you were to take some of these changes out. We'll talk about that next on Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Watching from the bleachers was your biggest fan, 11-year-old producer Mike Anderson.
Yeah, it's legit. Oh, that's such an honor to get a shout-out from the President of the United States. That is so cool. We know that he listens to this radio program because how else would he know to give a shout-out to the Blues' number one fan, producer Mike? I got a lot to get to on the show tonight. I had a couple of sports things, too. Let me just do this real quick before I get to the sports stuff, because there's a story in the Post-Dispatch about Cardinal Ritter and a player that was ineligible that played in game one of the season this year. Yeah, what were they thinking? All right. I mean, there's picture proof here. But let me mention this real quick because I said I was going to. Leslie Mazur is an opinion writer for the New York Daily News, and this is what she decided to write about. Imagine you discreetly order a double cheeseburger and pick it up at a secret location. My goodness, forget trying to take it through a drive-thru. That'll be long outlawed at this point. But with your meal camouflaged in an unmarked bag, you head home to indulge when you're suddenly stopped and arrested, a crime against the government. Sound absurd? Not to this person, because they say that eating meat could be banned just like smoking or toxic emissions. In a statement delivered by the Vegan Now campaign, normally, that's where I would stop reading an article. I try to read all kinds of different sources and keep my mind open. But as soon as I read Vegan Now, I'm checked out. See you later, dudes. Bye. But I decided to keep reading this one, which encourages people to stop eating animal byproducts. He warned that the farming of livestock is destroying the planet and called for legislation to criminalize those who cause global warming and the willful destruction of wildlife. So the fact that you may enjoy a burger every now and again, or a steak, or all the other delicious foods that are out there. Bacon. Don't forget bacon. Pork chops. Spare ribs. What else? How many other meat things can we think of? Oh, Slim Jims. Yeah, don't forget Slim Jims. I wonder what the carbon footprint on a Slim Jim is. It probably is equal to your car idling for an hour and a half. The creation of a Slim Jim probably has a much emission as the Bigfoot monster truck during one of his laps around any given monster truck rally. So, according to the National Cancer Institute, red meat is associated with risk of increased cancer, colon and rectum cancer, evidence suggesting that other cancers, prostate cancer. So they talk about this and they say it's got a big footprint environmentally and it's a climate crisis and 50 billion people and da 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 da. So we need to stop eating meat. And what we should really do is move towards criminalizing those who eat meat, so it'll force the entire farming industry to get away from livestock. All right, thank you for this. But when you see these stories, what they got to do, and this is what I've noticed, watching the debate last night, watching some of the tactics and the strategies that the 12 Democrats on stage last night tried to bring up, a lot of them just try to out-radicalize themselves. There's only a few that are trying to stay true to what a traditional Democrat would normally say. You have a Joe Biden and an Elizabeth Warren, and very few and far between radicalize their way into the White House. And when I say radicalize, I mean progressive their way into the White House. They're pretty far progressive for their own party, far, far left. And they come up with these ideas where if you're a Beto O'Rourke, you know, we're going to send police to your door to take your guns away. We're going to take away the status of churches if they refuse same-sex marriages because they go against their fundamental religious beliefs. we're going to give everyone $1,000 in a month and call them a freedom check or whatever Andrew Yang says. Or, you know, in some cases, you see, we're just going to decriminalize everything. We're going to open up the borders. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And they keep just going as far left as they can. And I think that's what they're trying to do as a strategy, because they saw it worked for Bernie in some sense. And it worked for him. It's worked for the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world who are out there and, you know, winning in some of these districts where they want to further make the left even further left. They want to take a blue area and make it even deeper blue. And they try that on the national stage because, you know, it's crowded. You have 12 people up there last night, and then you have about 4, 5, 6, 7 of them waiting in the wings that didn't make the stage that haven't dropped out yet. And they got to find ways to carve out their chance to get into the White House. So they just keep carving into the only places that they find that are left. And that's that far, far left, that fringe far left. It's kind of sad to see it divulge into that. But that's just what the strategy is. Now, let me put it this way. If their strategy of, I just got to get there and then I can contend, I don't think that's going to fly when you're up against a Donald Trump and the Republican Party. I think you can look at a Donald Trump and you can look at, here are the base things that we stand for. And then you can put those up against, like, let's say a Cory Booker gets up there, or let's say that a Beto O'Rourke or someone like that gets up there, as unlikely as that is, or, you know, Pete Buttigieg or something like that gets up there on the stage. Then all of a sudden you're looking at it and you're going to say, how realistic is it really? Some of these different policies, and then how damaging would it be if we were to actually implement some of these things right now? What would it take for you to have to comply with all of this nonsense? And I think if you were to individualize it and say, well, just like the healthcare debate that we saw last night, when people bring this up, and Joe Biden was one to point it out very quickly, if you're middle class under these plans of a Elizabeth Warren or a Bernie Sanders, or, you know, some of these ones that are pushing a farther left progressive tax code and change into the healthcare, Joe Biden says, okay, if you're making $50,000 to $100,000 as a household, you're going to find that if we were to adopt their tax code, that you're going to pay probably an extra $10,000 a year in order to be covered if we were to just allow the government to take it over. And then you get the Bernie Sanders counterpoint from last night, which was, what we got going on doesn't work, so we got to do something. You know, it's the numbers game is not a factor to them, because they're playing to the people that are under or no insurance. And it'll be, let's say you're a low income, you know, you're making $20,000-$25,000 a year. And their plan is, we're going to give you free insurance and we're going to cover everything. Well, if you're making over $50,000 a year, you've worked to that certain status and you've earned that opportunity and you have that good job. Now you're the ones that are going to be footing that bill. So what's going to happen? Well, you can have a Joe Biden that's up there that's somewhat responsible when it comes to his finances and somewhat constitutional and even limited in some sense. He's got his own baggage, but he's not far left progressive by any means going up against a Donald Trump. That's dangerous. But if you have someone that's, you know, Bernie Sanders, and you're looking at the two of them and you're going to say, well, I'm going to have to pay, if his plan goes through, about $10,000 extra a year in order to get probably worse coverage than what I have right now privately, just so someone else can get coverage. So I'm going to have to take the burden of this $10,000. I don't know if I want that. You know, I'm pretty comfortable making what I'm at right now. I can't imagine if I were to hit and have to try to find a way to come up with an extra, you know, $5,000 or $10,000. That'd be terrible. And that's going to be a losing proposition for a lot of the Democrats, because there's no way you're going to be able to take any votes away from any of these Republicans that may be disgruntled against a Donald Trump and some of the things he says and does, or maybe not liking the things he's done on foreign policy, or not moving quick enough on certain things, or whatever it is, whatever the grievances are. But you're not going to be stealing people away if it's a Bernie Sanders or someone that's far progressive. Not going to happen. Or even in this case, Elizabeth Warren or Cory Booker or Kamala Harris or something like that. So that's where we're at right now. It's rare, I think, right now in a political season to look at some of these far progressive ideas, like we're going to criminalize meat And we should make it so no drive-thrus exist in America and see that as a winning proposition for most voters. And that's going to be, I think, the downfall for a lot of the Democrats that are going to continue to run for office, that they tried to carve out that small piece of the pie, the very progressive pie, and ultimately they're giving up the rest of it because, you know, they've carved out this small portion of it. And the Republicans and anyone else that's running are going to be able to say, well, I'll take the rest. That's fine. And I'll take the easy victory. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
You know, and it's gotten so crazy when it comes to out-progressing the progressive, so we need to keep going further. Do you remember this story from last week? Ellen DeGeneres had to put a statement out because she was seen at a Dallas Cowboys game watching them play the Green Bay Packers, sitting next to George W. Bush, President of the United States, son of George H.W. Bush. And a lot of people were upset because Ellen, an openly lesbian personality and well recognized as a spokesperson for that, would sit next to a Republican that she disagrees with on some political aspect. And people went absolutely bananas that, oh, how dare Ellen even sit next to someone? And Ellen had to shame those people by saying, be kind to one another. It doesn't mean only to people that think the same way as you do. I mean, be kind to everyone. That's what she said. And you know what people did? They refused to accept that. She said, no, you just can't sit next to Republicans if you're this or that, or even have friends that disagree with you. It was totally insane. Well, I want to play what happened to NPR earlier today. I was listening and I saw this posted online. NPR did an interview with Elton John about his upcoming book. And during this interview, NPR was telling this story of them interviewing over the digital lines. Like, for example, if you ever listen to the show when we've interviewed Drex up in Canada, we don't have Drex in studio, but it sounds like he's in studio because we use this technology that makes it sound like he's in studio. It's really cool. He could be in Vancouver, Canada, and it sounds like he's sitting right next to me here in the studio. Well, they were doing that with Elton John. NPR was doing this interview. I want you to listen to what happened during that interview.
But if you feel that you have an injustice, I said, I've always lived my life fighting injustice with the press. I like the press. There's a need for the press. But sometimes they step out of their bounds, and hacking phones is not acceptable. If your phone is hacked, you've got to take action because the press cannot do that. And so I would say, bravo.
I have to.
All right, and so that was in reference. I thought it was kind of funny because he mentioned, you know, taking on the press, which is, you know, a very American thing as of right now. When you're misrepresented constantly in the press, I'm sure that could be very annoying. So when he talks about some of these instances where the royal family may be taking on the press for hacking into their cell phones and taking certain things from it, that is pretty ridiculous. But listen to where it goes from here. Listen to the question that the NPR reporter asks Elton John.
I have to also ask you about our president, Donald Trump, whom you do mention in this book. You played at his casino. You were also asked to sing at his inauguration.
Hi, Lulu. I need to interrupt. I'm sorry. We do need to end the interview now.
Okay. Did you hear that? That was on the other end. Whoever is booking these interviews for Elton John, there's always someone that's doing the publicity that's listening in on the interview. And the person that's listening in on the interview feels like they have to interject on behalf of the guest if they think something's going to come up that's going to be negative for the guest. So listen again. NPR asked this question. And then the publicist steps in and says, no, we're not going to let him answer that.
I have to also ask you about our president, Donald Trump, whom you do mention in this book. You played at his casino. You were also asked to sing at his inauguration.
Hi, Lulu. I need to interrupt. I'm sorry. We do need to end the interview now.
Isn't that funny? So the publicist, we can't allow you to talk about Donald Trump. So we're going to have the interview. We're going to end it right now. It's kind of nonsense, isn't it? This is where I have major respect for Elton John. Listen to how he responds to the publicist on his side.
Well, can I?
Yeah, just carry on.
Okay. I'm going to take your guidance from this, sir.
He says, just carry on. He's like, no, forget about this.
You were also asked to sing at his inauguration. You turned him down very politely. Your songs are played at his rallies. I've heard them there. Are you okay with that? To that question, he said he doesn't want to get involved in U.S. politics.
I disagree.
But he did answer this. So listen to how he answers it, and it plays in with the Ellen DeGeneres thing.
I disagree with a lot of his policies. My big philanthropic concern is AIDS and HIV, has been for a long time. My concern about President Trump is that he continues with the PEPFAR.
That's the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief, a U.S. program very dear to Elton John, and a program that came up again when he, unprompted, decided to address a different controversy with a different controversial president.
We live in a very, very fractured world at the moment, but there is so much kindness out there, and it comes in all shapes and forms. There was a thing with Ellen DeGeneres being criticized for being with George Bush in his box at the Dallas Cowboys game against the Green Bay Packers. And she very eloquently said, our policies and our views are different on things. But that's okay. That's what a democracy is all about. Unfortunately, what a democracy has become now is that it's not okay to have different opinion from yours. And that is not healthy. George Bush has made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. Ellen DeGeneres has made a lot of mistakes. But on the other hand, he was responsible for PEPFAR, which is the most incredible thing that a Republican president has done on a philanthropic level. PEPFAR came from the Republicans. People have to remember that. Yes, there were things that his decisions were made, but that's been made by Democratic presidents and Republican presidents. And I admire Ellen for standing up and saying what she did.
Look at that. Elton John saying this is absolutely ridiculous. When you start to say you can't even sit next to or have a conversation of someone that has a different ideology as you, that's nonsense. You know, I really admire that in Elton John. By the way, a little side note, did you know Elton John played at Rush Limbaugh's wedding? That's kind of cool, right? It's Overnight America.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.